Last week at this time, we talked about Enoch's walk with God. Tonight, I would like for us to continue our studies, you might say, our devotional time in the Pentateuch by talking about Exodus. In fact, maybe just Exodus chapter 10, but if you expanded that particular time frame, you would have Exodus chapters 8 through 10, and they really deal with the same particular principle. You know, the land of Egypt suffered greatly by the plagues of God because of Pharaoh's pride, because of his stubbornness. In Exodus chapter 5 and verse number 1 and 2, we find that Moses' first attempts to come to Pharaoh with the instruction of God to let his people go. Now, sometimes we just use that particular terminology because we know the end of the story. But if you read the whole section, Moses is not saying, let us go to the land of Canaan. What he is asking is permission from Pharaoh to go into the wilderness to hold a feast for Jehovah God. And he says, let my people go that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And of course, Pharaoh says, who is the Lord? Who is Jehovah that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And so Pharaoh, because of his pride, is going to cause the plagues to be brought upon his own people. In fact, his entire labor force is going to not just leave him for a couple of days. Remember, at the beginning, the instruction is all about a couple of days leave from difficulty and work. And he's going to actually lose them forever. But Pharaoh, when the plagues began to arrive, began to try to compromise with God. And there are actually three compromises that Pharaoh seeks to make with God or through Moses to God. One of those is found in chapter 8 and verse number 25, beginning. And in that, remember, they have said, we want to go into the wilderness and we want to offer a feast or have a feast to God. And Moses has specified that this is to be a 3-day journey. And Pharaoh says, I want you to stay in the land and I don't want you to go very far. That's the first compromise. Now, God's answer to that was more plagues. In other words, and one of the things that I want to stress tonight is that understanding who God is important, and that's what the Old Testament is there for, to help us to understand who God is. In fact, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6 would say that without faith, it is impossible to be pleasing unto God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In other words, we must know who our God is. Not just that he exists, that there's some spirit, mind, hovering force out there that we can tap into as a Star Wars Jedi kind of insight, but that God is a individual. That God is that mind and that he demands certain things of us. So we must know who he is. We must know about him. And the Old Testament is there as an introduction. God is introducing himself to us, and God introduces himself to Pharaoh. Remember, Pharaoh said, I don't know who he is. And so God reaches out his hand with a few plagues and says, let me introduce myself to you. And the introduction was enough to get his attention, but not to soften his heart. And so what you find here is Pharaoh says, I don't mind you going, but don't go 3 days, even though it was 3 days. Now listen, Pharaoh is no different than Satan. He does not mind us going very far with God, as long as we don't go too far. I mean, listen, you hear the terminology all the time. I don't mind being religious. I don't want to be a religious fanatic. I don't know what the definition of a religious fanatic is, if it's not going all the way with God. Whatever God asks, that I'm going to do. However far God says for me to go, that's how far I'm going to go. The instruction of God, now if that's how people describe a fanatic, and by the way, that is in some terminology how people describe a fanatic today. What, you go to church every week? A Sunday night too? You're there on Wednesday night? What's wrong with you? You're some kind of fanatic, you see. A compromise is offered here, and the world is still offering a compromise to God. I don't mind being a Christian, but God, you really expect me to be there all the time? No. God wouldn't require that of us, right? And so Pharaoh says, yeah, you can go, but don't go too far. Now in chapter 10, verses 8 through 11, after more plagues, Pharaoh is ready to compromise again. Now Moses has said that we're all going to go. We're going to take our flocks with us, and we're going to go 3 days' journey. Pharaoh has already said, don't go 3 days. And Moses said, yeah, we're going 3 days. Now he says, yeah, go ahead, but don't take your family with you. Leave your little ones and your wives and just let the men go. Just leave your family. You know, Satan doesn't really mind if part of the family wants to be unreligious while the rest want, and one wants to be religious. He doesn't mind that, you see. He doesn't mind divided families in relationship to faith. Satan doesn't mind that at all. And that's the compromise that he offers here. You know what the Lord's response was? More plagues. Locusts and darkness at this particular time. And then Pharaoh is ready to compromise one more time. He says, okay, you can go. You can go the 3 days, go in the wilderness. You can take everybody that you want to take, but I want you to leave your flock here. In other words, I don't mind you going all the way with God. I don't mind the whole family going all the way with God if you leave your material possessions behind. In other words, if you divide up your pocketbook from your spirituality, I don't mind you going 3 days in the wilderness. As long as you can make sure that you're still given to me, Satan says he is satisfied. By the way, that's chapter 10, verse 24 and following. You just leave your flocks behind. Don't go all the way in worship, in other words. See, they're going out there to offer sacrifices. How are you going to offer a sacrifice to God without something to offer? So you can go out there, you can spend 3 days, you can camp out there with your family for 3 days and come back, and I'll be satisfied with that. And that's kind of the way Satan is. You know, Satan doesn't mind when the church is going to watch the Texas Rangers play baseball. They don't mind people coming in all over the place and going up there. Satan doesn't mind us going to Texas Rangers and bringing all of our friends with us. But now, you know, it's always interested me that when the church is going to church, that there are a lot of people that don't show up to church that show up to Texas Ranger baseball tickets. What I think you see here is that Satan is okay with that. As long as you can be associated with the church a little bit, as long as you don't put your activity into worship of God, you'll be okay with Satan. What interests me, I guess, most about this entire story is the fact that you have a man that keeps attempting to bargain with God. God is not a negotiator. God doesn't work this back and forth. You know, you send in, I hate going to buy a car. You know, you walk in, sorry, Velton, but you walk in, Velton's not this way, Velton, but you walk into some of these car selling places, and you gotta write down how much you want for your car, write down how much you want to spend, and you gotta tell them all, and they'll take it to the sales manager. By the way, I did this for a little while, Velton, I haven't ever told you that, but I did this for a little while. Never was any good at it. But there may have been a reason why that too. But we would have to send. They say, okay, I'm not going to pay more than $20,000 for this car. You said that was a long time ago. Well, we're not going to pay more than $20,000 for this car. So you would send $20,000 to the sales manager, and the sales manager would come back with $32,000 for the car. And so you'd have to say, well, the sales manager said $32,000. And they're like, oh, I can't do that. How about 22? And so you take 22 back to the... I hated those times. But that's how you had to do it. But that was back in 1981, Velton. So that's a little while ago. But there was this negotiation going on with the car. I want to go in. I sold my pickup one time. I advertised it in the newspaper for so much. I can't remember what it was. It was a Toyota. A very good vehicle. It was a Toyota. But it was a Toyota pickup, and I was selling it. And when the first thing out of the guy's mouth when he gets there, how much will you take for the pickup? Well, I said, I told you in the paper what I'd take. Yeah, but what's your bottom dollar? I said, that is my bottom dollar. I told you what I wanted for it. Are you willing to pay it or not? He said, oh, I don't know if I can. Started walking off, and I didn't change my mind. He said, okay, I'll take it. I didn't know I was that good. But I had a particular, that was my bottom dollar. That was what I would take for the vehicle. God is not a negotiator when it comes to these things. God, by the way, you think about this. God has a covenant, the New Testament, in which He has blessed humanity with. He has our best interest at heart. He has our greatest good in mind. And He has developed a covenant. And He has offered His only begotten Son as a blood sacrifice in order to seal the deal, you might say. He's done everything within His power to demonstrate that He has our greatest good at heart. God doesn't need to negotiate. In fact, Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 6 says, God changes not. Wasn't a negotiator with Pharaoh, and my friends, He will not negotiate with us today. And so the one who needs to make the change would be us, right? That's where the idea of repentance comes in. That's the change of mind that takes place in order to be pleasing to God. And so the invitation tonight, you know, it's interesting that God offers mercy to both those of the alien sinner through belief, confession, repentance, and baptism. He offers to the alien sinner, those who are not children of God, He wants you to become children of God, and He offers you that in His covenant. He is merciful. But to those of us who are members of the body of Christ, when we sin, He offers us mercy too. And that's a beautiful thing. Sometimes referred to as the second law of pardon. And what we mean by that is that you can be pardoned again if you so desire through prayer and repentance, Acts 8 and 22, and through confession of sin, 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9. If there's some way we can help you, stop making compromises with the making compromises with the devil and negotiating with God through acceptance of His will. We'll be glad to do that tonight as we stand and sing.